I will say I'm 100% here for first base slash DH rotation of beefy boys Miguel Sano and Kenny Vargas.
Yes.
I'm here for the beefy boys.
Wow. There is no off-season, a baseball prospectus daily podcast focusing solely on Fantasy Keeper and Dynasty League formats. I am your host, Ben Carsley of BP Boston and the BP Fantasy Team, and I am joined by BP's managing editor, Brett Sayer, and BP's minor league editor, Craig Goldstein. So we're making good on our promise from a week ago. We are back recording 2 weeks in a row because we skipped 1 week, and we're all excited to be here. And Brett, on a scale from 1 to the Tim Beckham OPS watch, how excited are you to be on the podcast tonight?
100 and fucking 1.
Craig, do you want to let a little glimpse of the shining enthusiasm you displayed pre-call shine through in this intro?
Do I have to?
That is about right. So for those of you scoring at home, Craig is... Not in a good mood. Has not been in a good mood all day. Told us at like 11 a.m. today that it was just not going to be a good day for Craig. And he is a man of his word. And then on the flip side, Papa Brett appeared to enjoy a few glasses of fermented grapes and has not eaten dinner. And your lovely host has eaten dinner but went to a work event and has consumed a few beers. So basically two-thirds of the podcast is in really good shape. And then Craig will be grumpy. So pretty big departure from what you're used to.
I am drinking, if that helps.
I mean, it makes me feel better. Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see what impact it has on your mood as the podcast progresses.
I think the amount of Tim Beckham discussion is going to have a bigger effect, if we're being honest.
Well, alcohol is a depressant. So if you have two depressants at once,
two depressants means is a positive, right? I mean, it's good.
I believe I heard that on WEEI this week. Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that was the logic. Okay, so I believe the plan for this podcast is to focus solely on the American League, go division by division, and talk about players who we think have significantly impacted their Dynasty League output one way or the other early this season. And as Craig nobly pointed out in our pre-podcast discussion, we're going to try to stay away from just, yeah, it's fine now, but what the hell matters? It's Dynasty in the long term. So we'll try to stay away from some of the really, really obvious players that way. You know, if someone has a huge swing in short-term value, we'll mention it. But overall, we'll try to talk about some long-term trends we see appearing. And then when we come back to you in 2 weeks, we will discuss the senior circuit. But we are going to start in the AL East because Brett said, I got to decide where we start. And I would rather ease into this podcast than try to make my brain remember who's in the AL West. So we will start with the Orioles. And to me, I think the player on the Orioles who has perhaps changed his value the most in the early days of the season is Trey Mancini. And I know, Brett, you and I both had Mancini in the last 10 of our top 101 lists when we sort of compared early this offseason. So talk a little bit about Mancini and what you think he's done to sort of warrant everyday playing time, because that was not a given. We were discussing this back in like February.
Yeah, I think I don't think I had him in my 101 when we first started comparing him. I know you did, and I know he ended up in there. But yeah, he played for a little bit and hit some home runs, and now he's kind of what, playing 2-3 times a week?
No, he's playing more than that right now.
Is he? I don't think he is.
Yes.
We are going to check this.
Well, I'm already checking to see if you didn't have him in your 101.
Well, that's true. Yeah, he he's played a little bit more of late.
He had like five games off, and he's played April 28th, 29th, 30th, May 2nd, and 3rd. So he's playing basically every day right now.
So he started
four
out of the last seven games or so.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, he hit some home runs and he's struck out a bunch, and I don't know how much has really changed with Mancini for me. I think he's still a guy who could hit some home runs in that park, and probably won't really find consistent playing time until the Orioles decide to stop signing first basemen to play every spot on the field.
So I agree that that is what reasonable people, like, that's what should happen. But the Orioles seem pretty comfortable playing him in the outfield, and he is not a good defensive corner outfielder, and that's not at all what I'm trying to say. But he is a little bit of a better athlete than I thought he was based on, like, scouting reports. Like, I sort of had the, an image of, like, a bigger, blockier, really limited mobility slugger, and he is not good defensively in the outfield. But I don't know if he's markedly worse than, like, you know, Seth Smith. I think he's a not entirely embarrassing corner outfield option. And for the O's, I mean, that's like, you know, they're very attracted to that profile. So I at least think Mancini is going to be in line for regular at-bats against lefties for a good portion of the season. And I mean, I view him as a guy who could flirt with maybe 400 at-bats this season, whereas, you know, originally I thought maybe he might be closer to 250, 300. In terms of long-term, because I know we said we'd try to stay away from this super short-term, I think if he stays a member of the Orioles, he'll be a guy who could end up being pretty useful in, like, 16-team leagues or AL-only leagues, especially if you have daily matchups, because I think he'll be pretty good against southpaws and play enough not against southpaws to matter.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing about Mancini is that for his major league career, his OPS against right-handed pitching is actually about 400 points higher than his OPS against left-handed pitching. Sure. And yeah, I mean, it's not something that is gonna continue or anything, but, you know, as we all kind of think of Mancini as a guy who could play and be really solid against left-handed pitching, that consistently amuses me. I think, you know, when I think about Mancini, the guy who comes to mind, and, you know, he doesn't have the really nice eligibility that this other player has, but
Danny Valencia.
No, I think of having, I sort of that low OBP guy who if he got, you know, 450 at bats could potentially hit 25 homers in that park.
Brett, you cut out for me. Who are you?
I know. I didn't hear it either.
I have no idea who you are.
I said Evan Gattis.
No.
I don't agree with that either.
Here's the thing. Trey Mancini's not that good, and you're talking about a short side platoon first baseman. I hear what you're saying, Ben. I agree with you. He might get outfield time, whatever, but he's not. They can't trot him out there consistently. And since he hit four home runs in the Orioles' first 12 games, he's hit 171, 167. Yes, his OBP is below his batting average, and he's hitting 171, 314 in the 11 games since then. The reality is that Trey Mancini is probably what we thought he was, which is not that good.
Craig is so mad.
Well, yeah,
he's just not that good.
Well, yeah, but if you had
their other corner outfielders are Seth Smith and Kim.
You seem Seth. First of all, Seth Smith is probably what Trey Mancini should aspire to.
Okay, Seth Smith's not terrible, but I suppose I'm factoring in, like, defense a little bit too much. I was impressed is not the right word. Not as disappointed as I thought I'd be by watching Mancini in the field.
Sure. No, and that's I hear you on that. And he'll probably pick up some at bats there. But I just don't think he's that good a hitter. Like, he's fine. I think he's fine. But you're talking about, I mean, the Orioles are at least they fancy themselves contenders. I think if he's gonna get everyday at bats, which I think he would need to accumulate the relevant counting stats for him to be worthwhile in fantasy. He needs to be on a complete loser of a team. And that's fine. There are a lot of guys like that, and they accrue value. But I don't think any contender can afford to play him regularly. And if he is the short side platoon guy, it's just not worth it in fantasy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I see him as like a 300 OBP, 25 homer guy. Which,
but how are you getting to 25 homers on a short side platoon bat?
Because I disagree that he's only going to be used. Like, okay, theoretically, if you're constructing a team, I agree with you, Craig, but that's not how the Orioles are, like, really built. So I think he is, as a matter of fact, like, going to get more playing time than that this season.
Yeah, the 25 home runs is if he gets, like, you know, 450 plate appearances or even a touch more than that, which is, like Ben's saying, is, you know, as crazy as we might think that is, that it might happen.
I will give you credit when it happens.
I already regret throwing 450 out there. I don't think he's getting 450.
No, I could see him getting the playing time. I just don't see him capitalizing on it. That's more my issue.
Fair enough. So who else in Baltimore can we talk about?
Like pretty much no one. I don't really see anyone else who's status has changed. I mean, Dylan Bundy has looked good, I guess, if we want to talk about him briefly.
Yeah,
didn't we bring him up last week? Or am I making that? I was curious. I had looked at him before, and I wasn't sure if we talked about him.
I think we complimented, like, a specific pitch, but didn't talk about him. The weird thing is, like, as good as he's looked stuff-wise, he isn't really striking people out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 13 fewer strikeouts than Wade Miley.
Don't say that to me.
But Wade Miley's been weirdly good. Like, it doesn't make sense, but he has been good.
He has. He does this, like, every once in a while, though. It's totally not sustainable, and you can't buy into it. But it's really fun when it happens.
Okay, I don't think there's anyone else on the Orioles. We're just going to go alphabetically by city. The Red Sox don't have a third baseman, like, at all. Sandoval is on the DL. Marco Hernandez is now on the DL. Josh Rutledge is currently the Red Sox third baseman. So I think the only takeaway there is Sandoval might get even less playing time than we thought he would.
I mean, they have a third baseman in Portland.
Well, that is true.
Who Jeff Paternoster just saw in Hartford, and I think he fell in love with him.
Yeah, see, I think this is a fair thing to talk about. You know, we all sort of thought I think we all thought what we knew Rafael Devers' ETA was going to be, but you know, we're now a month into the season, and he's been hitting really well at AA, and the Red Sox are a shit show at third base. Nice. Has it changed our mind as to whether we might see Devers this year?
I mean, yeah. outside of late September, not for me.
Yeah, no, I mean at all this year.
Coming
into the season, I thought there was just, you know, pretty close to 0% chance that he was going to be in the majors at all this year. But I mean, I think for me that number's gone up a little bit. I mean, this is
like very, very similar to what Benintendi did last season, except Benintendi got off to a slower start, and we sort of collectively wrote off that we would see Benintendi at all last year, and I was leading the charge. We would not see him at all, and Dombrowski did not have a problem promoting him in like early August. So if Devers continues to do this, could we see him in early August? Sure, but I think that's unlikely.
It's also what he did with Moncada, right? I mean,
yeah,
hit, and so he and there was space, so they brought him up.
But Benintendi was before that, and then he missed time because of an injury. But
I was just saying for an infielder, yeah.
Yes, but the overall point is Dave Dombrowski does not give a fuck about AAA. So if Devers continues to do this for another 8 to 10 weeks at AA, I do think there's a better chance of us seeing him than I would have given him before the season started.
When do we start seeing Blake Swihart take ground balls at third base?
I mean, at this point,
I'm ready for it.
I wouldn't really mind soon, because I still don't think Christian Vasquez will hit, but his arm is all the way back, and he's a disgustingly good defender. So, I mean, if that's the path you're going to take, I'd rather see Blake Swihart take grounders at third than just have him languish.
Plus, he's used to throwing it over the pitcher's mound anyway, so.
Oh, brutal. But for Craig, clever.
Oh, cool.
That would require Blake Swihart not being on the AAA DL, which is not a particular strength of his.
It's definitely not a strength of his.
Elsewhere on the Red Sox, Stephen Wright is done for the year. If you were counting on Stephen Wright in Dynasty, you deserved that. And today news came out that David Price was hitting like 95 again. So hopefully David Price will be back to being at least 80% of David Price by the end of this month, seems to be what we're hearing.
Yeah. Eduardo Rodriguez has looked like the good version.
Oh, I've been fucking telling you guys. I've been telling you.
Yeah.
I've been not trading him to you.
I have been trying to get him from Craig.
Yeah.
I've been trying to trade Craig for
him. I will say, I know he looked really good. What, they were on Sunday Night Baseball recently, right? Am I making that up?
I watched the Cubs, the National Day.
Yeah. And he looked really good, but I will say, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he was missing his spots a decent amount. I mean, the stuff is good enough that he can do that, but is that throughout the season? Or, like, he was definitely extremely successful, so it wasn't obviously a problem in that game. But it seemed to me like he was a little bit all over the place in terms of where the catcher set up versus where they caught the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be, like, a command artist. I think that's definitely fair. But the way the stuff has played since last July, like you're saying, it's still good enough for him to be an MLB number three.
Yeah.
And a fantasy, you know, 4 or 5, depending on your league.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So this is difficult as a Red Sox fan for me to say, but I'm sort of excited to go to the Yankees and talk about Aaron Judge.
My man.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Aaron Judge has already hit 13 home runs, and it is May 4th.
Yeah, he looks...
To be fair, he's two people, so...
That is true. So he's only had 6.5 home runs per Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
But you don't have to take up two roster spots for him.
Yeah.
It's true. It's a weird fantasy eligibility quirk.
Yeah.
He's big and strong. Real. Yeah. And he's not striking out at a crazy amount. He's got
like a 25% strikeout rate. Which,
yeah, 26.
Aaron
Judge
with a 25% strikeout rate is a high end fantasy player.
Yeah. Well, his ISO is 489.
Yeah.
I mean, this is okay. Ugh, everyone's gonna yell at me.
His ISO. Let me do it. His ISO is higher than Greg Bird's OPS.
Well, as okay. I like Greg Bird is fucking trash.
I like praising Judge and burying Bird in the same.
Yeah, I figured you'd appreciate that one.
And can we top the fact that he is a great like hashtag for when he homers?
All eyes.
Yeah,
it's terrific.
It's fantastic. Very good job, Yankees Twitter.
Yeah.
What are the odds that Aaron Judge might be like kind of who we want Giancarlo Stanton to be?
I'm not ready to do that. But
Neither am I. But
you know, it's all about the contact rate with Judge, because the power, you know, we've known that the power is there for years. You know, clearly all the Statcast stuff is fun because he hits the ball really fucking hard, but it's. You know, if he needs to keep this up, the league is going to adjust to him. But if he can keep his contact rate around this range, you know, I think we're talking about like a solid outfield two going forward. You know, he's definitely got that in him. He's a good natural hitter for someone of his size and strength. And if he's making contact, he's putting up stats.
Brett, can I give you a revenge ranking stat because you called me out for having Trey Mancini high?
Yes.
I had Aaron Judge at 16 and you had him at 44.
Fair enough.
Damn. Owned. I have been high on Judge for a long time. I think, you know, I did not in my wildest dreams expect to start like this, but you know, he does have a shorter swing for a guy his size. I agree with what Brett's saying, read the contact rate. I don't think that it's necessarily going to hold there.
He's due for a slump.
Yeah, well, and it's not even just a slump, but like he's not like I think there are holes in his swing, and people will find them, and that's fine because they'll make mistakes along the way, and we know what he can do with mistakes, right? So that's fine. But it's obviously like I don't think he's a 330 hitter. I don't think he needs to be remotely a 330 hitter to be extremely valuable.
Oh God, no. Yeah, I mean, he as a 260 hitter, he could be very valuable from a fantasy perspective.
Okay, so if we, and I'm devil's advocating here, but if we think he's a 260 hitter and this power is real, what is the functional difference between he and Giancarlo Stanton?
I don't think the power is there to the extent that Stanton's power is.
I don't know if I agree.
I guess the difference in, you know, the fact that Stanton can't stay healthy maybe balances it out a little bit, but I from a natural raw power perspective, I as much as Judge has, I mean, yeah, and it's really hard to compare anybody to Stanton in that realm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. It's definitely far more plausible now than it ever was at any point in the future. I will say, and this is something I don't know, you know, I don't know how much it matters or whether it's reasonable for him to continue. But like I'm looking at his plate discipline stats and like his O contact percentage, so his contact on swings out of the zone, is 41% this year. Basically, the league average is 62.5%. So he's saving himself a lot of weak contact. I wonder if something like that is remotely sustainable in terms of how little he's making contact on stuff out of the zone when he does swing. And if that's going to do something to bring his average down. But we'll see. We just don't have a ton of data on Judge right now. So it was very low last year. And he did have time last year, so we shouldn't ignore that. It was under 40% last year. So it's worth keeping in mind.
That was very un-Tino-like because it involved legitimate analysis.
Well, I mean, don't get used to it.
Oh, yeah, I don't. I didn't care for that at all.
I apologize.
Okay, one more Yankee quick, and we should probably start moving at a pace faster than like 19 minutes per team. Mm-hmm. So Luis Severino, who all three of us have labeled as a reliever for a very long time, is kind of crushing it right now. Through five starts, he's striking out over a batter per inning. He has a very un-Luis Severino-like walk rate of 4.7%. Just a random blip on the radar, Craig, or is this changing your mind at all about who he is?
It's not right now. I mean, it's certainly encouraging, but I, you know, the reality is that part of the reason people were concerned about Severino was basically how he holds up over a whole season. I would, if you told me that he would put together a five start stretch with this, you know, if he was capable of that, I'd say sure. That's totally reasonable. He's got great stuff. He's not Joe Kelly, but he's got high quality stuff, let's say that.
We'll
see. I'm intrigued, and it's definitely a point worth investigating further. I have not spent a ton of time watching him, so I'm not sure, you know, if there's any substantive changes in that sense. But you know, for me, it's five starts, and we have a much bigger catalog of his performance, you know, between the majors and the minors. And this seems, you know, this is one of those things where we talk about sample sizes a lot and stabilization points and stuff like that. And so this isn't necessarily a small sample size, 32. I mean, it is in some contexts. It's past some stabilization points if you want to look at, you know, like his ability to miss bats and stuff like that. But the problem with using stabilization points like that is that we do have that much bigger catalog in terms of his history and what he's done before. So it might have reached reached a stabilization point in terms of, you know, what Russell Carlton's research has shown, but that doesn't mean it's predictive or that we have a new guy going forward in that sense. It just means that the data that we have so far is reliable, but it doesn't make it predictive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing about Severino from a value standpoint is that, you know, whether not because just this happened, but because this happened at the beginning of the season, I think he has earned a much longer run in the Yankee rotation than I think we thought he might have coming into this year. I mean, coming into this year, I think most people thought, you know, maybe he would start a little bit, maybe he would relieve a little bit, maybe he'd be in the minors a little bit. At this point, barring injury, I don't think he's coming out of the rotation. So half of the battle for guys like Severino is having the time to be able to prove themselves over a longer sample. And, you know, just Severino getting to the point where I think he's earned that longer sample is a big deal for his long-term value.
Yeah, I think that's a smart way to put it. So if you go to the Rays, I don't really have anything. Blake Snell has looked decent so far. Steven Souza has had a pretty good start to the year, but his BABIP is like 400. Anyone
won
the Rays?
Well, they won the trade. They won the trade.
very clearly. Tria Turner is garbage. Yes, Tria was intentional. Please save your comments for when I actually fuck up. Anyone on the Rays? I don't really think so.
The only guy who I want to make a quick comment about is Corey Dickerson, who...
Oh, yeah, good call.
Good.
Who has been really good and looks like the Corey Dickerson that we all kind of loved in Coors, even though he's not in Coors anymore. And, you know, his contact rate is solid. He's hitting home runs. He's not driving runs in because he plays for the Rays, but
I love that.
He's also because he's hitting leadoff, I believe.
Is he hitting mostly leadoff? I think so.
Against righties, he is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if he plays against lefties.
Yeah, well, he's gotten 106 plate appearances. So if he's not playing against lefties, he's definitely playing against every single righty.
Yeah.
But yeah, he looks like the Corey Dickerson that, you know, people kind of fawned over a couple years back. So he's had that in him. I think that's a little bit of an exciting development. But yeah, there's not really a whole lot else to talk about on this team unless you guys have anything.
Unless you want to talk about Tim Beckham.
No.
I prefer. No.
Yeah, I mean, Snell,
major league hitter Tim Beckham.
on the point of Snell, he's been intriguing, but like he wastes so many pitches. He barely goes five innings at reality. And I've been probably the biggest Blake Snell supporter out there, and it's very aggravating from a fantasy standpoint because the ratios aren't great, and because he walks a lot of guys, and he's hardly getting wins because A, he's on the Rays, and B, he's not making
this,
it. He's not making it.
This is my favorite
it.
Tino segment ever.
Well, let me
just
cap it off for you.
Ben, on the Rays.
Is this the year Evan Longoria gets a 900 OPS?
Has anyone ever asked that before?
I don't know. I thought it was a new thing.
I think you. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this is not the year he has a 900 OPS.
Okay. Yeah.
That made me so. Thank you, guys. I needed that. Blue Jays, death comes for us all. Is there really any other dynasty comment? Everyone's hurt.
Yeah, it's really not a fun team to own anybody from. I mean, maybe Kevin Pillar, if you kind of gambled on him late, but
Marco Estrada keeps on.
Marco Estrada. What? Brett, what?
He frustrates the shit out of me. He's
and
good.
Hitters.
He will be on another team by the end of this year. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. But I don't get it. I watch him and I don't get it.
Okay.
This has been great for Ezequiel Carrera's fantasy.
Oh, wow. Did you just say Ezequiel?
Ezequiel? I don't know how to say his name.
I think you said Ezequiel, which makes, again, this is just a banner 5 minutes for me and Tino.
Yeah. Francisco Liriano has a 2 ERA after his disaster first start.
That's going to change.
He's roping Brett back in.
Yes, Francisco Liriano has very good numbers after his trash outings. Yes, that is the Francisco Liriano story.
I know. That is the story of his life.
Okay. AL Central before we go to break. So the White Sox are first, and the White Sox have been surprisingly competent as an MLB team. How long do you guys want to spend talking about Matt Davidson?
None.
No, really? That's going to plummet back to earth.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What makes Matt you say Davidson that?
Matt Davidson is a poor man's Trey Mancini.
No. First of all, don't do that. Matt Davidson has great hair. Matt Davidson is striking out 37% of the time.
And he is still going to fall back to earth.
And yeah, well, I mean, I don't think he can sustain his 255 average striking out that often.
However, we need to refer to him. His full name is Ben Carsley, $0 Fab acquisition, Matt Davidson.
Fair enough.
All four of his homers belong to me in TDGX.
It's very nice.
I gotta tell you, their catchers are doing work in my AL only league. It's true. Giovanni Soto and Omar Narvaez.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And if Giovanni you're Soto. Paying. There is a very exciting race going on in Chicago, and we will be following all season to see whether Cody Ashe can out OPS his weight.
Oh my God!
Do you think Cody Ashe makes it through May?
No. Wait, you mean like alive?
Like alive?
Yeah. Alive? Yes, intact in Chicago. No.
Okay. I'm still waiting on Reimer Liriano.
He's crushing it in AAA.
Is he actually?
Oh, yeah, because every week
he like broke his face or something for a minute.
There. Oh, he's not crushing it in AAA. Wait. Yeah.
No.
This is what happens when you only have 64 plate appearances, is these things change very quickly.
Yeah. Should we talk about Avisaíl Garcia?
I don't think it's real, but in like... in memoriam for Mao, I guess we should.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's real either, but he hasn't ever done this even, right?
No.
Nope.
He's been actually good. God bless him. I hope he keeps it up, but
he doesn't turn 26 until June, and he first appeared in the majors in 2012.
Yeah. Well, apparently screwing over Prince Fielder gives you eternal life. But if you want to buy into his changes at least a little bit, he regularly was over 50% in terms of his batted ball profile for ground balls, and he is under 50% this year. He's over 30% fly balls, which I still don't think he has five home runs on 30% fly balls. I don't think that's sustainable, but it's at least some minor change in his profile, because he's basically striking out and walking at the same amount. So I'm not really sure where this is coming from.
Yeah.
Other than perhaps a few more fly balls.
It's cool though.
Sure.
It is cool.
I guess the Derek Holland revival is the other thing going on? No?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Leury Garcia?
I feel like we should cap our White Sox Garcia discussion at one.
Okay.
That's true. The only other guy that I feel like is worth bringing up for about 10 seconds is Tommy Conley, who has a DRA lower than his WHIP, and his FIP is a negative 0.9.
How is that possible?
Well, he throws 100. No.
He throws 100, and he might know where it's going. If he actually does know where it's going, he could be their best reliever. He might be their best reliever now, but he could actually get saves. So, an interesting gamble, but that's just 15 seconds.
Great. He's a middle reliever. He's very valuable in fantasy.
So much salt. The Indians, I can't think of anybody who is remotely interesting because...
I have not looked. How's Brantley doing?
Good. Brantley's having a very good year.
So that's...
He's hitting for power.
That's a positive for a shoulder injury.
Yeah, it's really positive.
That's fair. I forgot about him. It's been all... Yeah. 4 days since I wrote about that, and I can't remember anything.
Yeah, is Francisco Lindor a top 10 dynasty player for you?
No.
That's my backwards way of saying, do you believe in the power?
I
think you can believe in the power to a fair degree without him being a top 10 fantasy player.
I mean, a 23-year-old hitting who is, you know, I think it's fair to say he's a 300 hitter at this point.
Probably, yeah.
With maybe 20 plus home run power and speed. I mean, not a ton of speed, but enough speed.
I mean, he has one stolen base so far.
Well, yeah.
He had 20 last year, though, or 19 last year.
Sure, and he only had 15 homers last year. So, I mean, it's a bit, you know.
Well, I mean, Craig, I agree with you.
I'm just the one asking the question.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's a top 10 dynasty asset. I think he's a top 25 dynasty asset.
I'm just asking for some physical evidence is all I'm asking for.
Who are you, that guy talking about Adam Jones?
Yes.
No.
we let you shit on Tampa Bay. We're going to make fun of Boston for a little bit. I'm sorry.
Well, I've been very supportive of people making fun of Boston for this.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of evidence about that. Okay. Tigers, do we have
One quick thing before we move off of the Indians. Are either of you concerned about Edwin Encarnacion striking out at an extremely different...
No, he always sucks the first, 6 weeks. No, sounds I'm good. Not concerned all right, at all.
Go on to the Tigers.
The Tigers are old.
They're bad.
I mean, they're, about 500, which is what I would have guessed. But dynasty-wise, I mean, they're just old. They don't have any interesting young players.
Castellanos.
He's not young anymore.
He's 25. He's
25?
Not in people years.
he's actually like a young 25.
He hasn't done anything this year. He's been worse than he was last year, and last year was his breakout year where he was like okay.
All right. Well, I mean, he started off pretty well. I don't think he's not far from last year.
He's hitting .255 with 3 homers.
Yeah,
which is which is fine, but I mean,
it's 27. Like he's like a 3 game hitting streak from being what he was last year.
Right, but what he was last year was what?
Was like, fine. Again, he's only 25. I mean, I know people were buying into his power a little bit. I'm just bringing him up. Do you want to talk about Jim Aducci? What do you want from me?
I want to talk about Jim Aducci because every time Jim Aducci does anything, you can actually see Matt Sussman's soul die a little bit more on Twitter. So if we could have an exclusively Jim Aducci podcast, frankly, I'd be thrilled.
Well, we'd have to invite Matt on at the very least.
Would we?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
I mean, hey, we all know that I aspire to be Matt Sussman, but oh my God, he is basically, I want like alerts set up for Jim Medici, Matt Sussman, just so I can make sure I never miss anything.
Oh, yeah, I recommend that.
Okay, just as a recalibrate, like, is this pretty much the same Michael Fulmer or a different Michael Fulmer? Have your Michael Fulmer opinions changed?
He's been good Michael Fulmer.
Yeah, I mean
his FIP is not as good as last year. It's obviously quite early. I just wasn't sure where you guys were at on him.
Yeah, I mean, I feel a little bit better about him, but I mean, again, it's five starts, but yes, incrementally better.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to put it.
Yeah. Justin Upton is doing April Justin Upton things.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he opts out.
Yeah. Upton is like the only player in the world who has a higher OPS for his career in April than any other month of the season. He does this. This is what he does.
Oh, it's not as mind-boggling as Nick Castellanos being 25, but it's crazy that Justin Upton is still only 29.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, so if we go to the Royals.
That is delicious.
It's a Pecota victory lap, I guess, huh?
Just take victory laps.
Wow.
Craig, I don't know if you know this, and Royals fans will be happy to point this out, but, well, actually, Pecota thought they'd be bad when they won the World Series.
Yeah.
Which is, under.
That's new evidence.
Yeah. People forget that.
Yeah.
PPL, numeral four. PPL. Get that. It's not good.
Jason Vargas is the new hotness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Danny Duffy is back to ice cold.
Yeah, he's not good anymore. Are we calling it on Hosmer? I know we've
alluded. I mean, he just hit another grounder while you were saying Eric Hosmer.
it's not great. My boy Jorge Bonifacio has been a brief bright spot. I know we talked about him last week, but he's had two home runs already.
Mike Moustakas, too, is kind of picking up where he left off.
You mean certain future Red Sox Mike Moustakas? Yeah, I can't fucking wait for that reality.
You should be really excited.
Can't wait to trade, like, Jason Grom and Benintendi for Mike Moustakas in July.
Oh, I haven't looked. I know Alex Gordon was ice cold. Is he done?
I hope not, but...
I have concerns.
I feel like he got old so fast.
You know what? Brett,
he's hitting 191 right now.
Well, he's the opposite of Nick Castellanos. Alex Gordon's already 33 years old. I mean, he's not young.
He's also the opposite of what Brett said about Fulmer, where Brett said he feels incrementally better. I feel incrementally worse about Gordon.
Yeah, well, that's not. He's got a 48.
He gets the Eric Cosmo treatment. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a honest question I have for you guys, because I know I'm not low man on one guy and high on the other. Would you rather have Jorge Bonifacio or Trey Mancini on talent? I you know the playing time is going to be different, but
I mean
just on talent.
Sure. Yeah, because I know Mancini's going to play, and I know Jorge Soler is coming back. So.
Yeah, if you tell me that Mancini is going to have outfield eligibility, which it looks like he's going to have, I think I'd lean Mancini.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I do too, but I mean, it's a totally fair question.
It's a lean.
I don't think it's completely unreasonable. I would take Bonifacio because, as I said, I'm high on one and low on the other, but I can buy that.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Baseball Reference, and they have all nine of their starters listed next to each other. And you want to guess how many of them have an on-base percentage of over 300?
One.
Lorenzo Cain.
Do you know who that is? Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah.
Where is Whit Merrifield at? Because he's starting over. I'm assuming Mondesi is still listed in their starting.
Yeah, Mondesi is still listed as the starter.
Yeah, but let's get Whit Merrifield and his Southern plantation in here.
So if Merrifield at least gets on base like once in the next two games,
he's he close. will break. Beautiful. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Where's that Matt Strom fan club now?
Yeah. Turns out Nathan Carnes isn't good. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Weird. Weird.
Yeah. He had a good start, though, like yesterday.
Okay.
Let's go.
Weird sure. that a pitcher who the Mariners were like, no, is somehow.
And the Rays.
Well, I mean, at least the Rays have, like, shitty depth. The Mariners, like, just fucking Band-Aid pitchers from 9 years ago together and cart them out to the mound. And even they were like, we can do without Nate Carnes.
I'm pretty sure they still have Ryan Roland Smith in AAA.
Yeah, I'm sure Joel Piñeiro really is making their next fucking start.
Ryan Roland Smith is a really good broadcaster right now.
Is he doing broadcast work?
He just broadcasts for them. He does like half their games, and he's Aussie and has a fantastic accent. And he's but beyond the accent, he's actually a fantastic broadcaster.
That's really cool.
Yeah, well worth listening to.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on past the Kansas. Yeah. I'm getting.
I mean, there's not a ton for the Twins either. I guess.
Byron Nelson, Buxton, maybe.
I was gonna say Sano and Buxton have arrows pointing in very different directions.
How do we feel about Robbie Grossman? Let's have that conversation again.
No.
Let's not.
Kenneth
Grossman, Robbie Grossman would have the highest on-base percentage of anyone on the Royals.
So, Brett, at this point,
That's a good game. Pick the worst player on another team who would have the highest on-base percentage on the Royals.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That actually wouldn't be a bad article.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll lean into the win there. Brett, is this even a tough question? Do you prefer Sano or Buxton for Dynasty?
Sano.
Yeah, okay. I didn't think.
You guys know that. I love Sano. He's been so good, and you know he's not a 300 hitter, but he's just. He's making a ton of hard contact, and he's just been really good.
He's getting a little big though. Yeah. I don't know if we're super long for Miguel Sano, third baseman.
We've never been super long for Miguel Sano, third baseman.
He's not that bad there. I mean, like,
that's Craig. Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah,
like he's always been athletic for his size.
Yeah,
but the size is increasing more than the athleticism is.
Yeah, I mean, but he really cannot even pretend to be in the outfield. So,
oh God, no. I mean, if you've been a dynasty league owner who's had Miguel Sano for years, I mean, everyone expects him to be at first base at some point, but yes, I completely agree. He is good enough that there's no reason to move him now. And I think he could, yeah, I get here. How about we do this, Craig? Over under on number of years into the future, Sano will have third base eligibility. 3.5.
Ooh, under for me. Under.
I'm going to say under.
So 2021, does he have third base eligibility?
No, I don't think so, because they're gonna be able to shift him over there relatively soon.
And Brett, his thighs are already the size of Eddie Rosario. Like, there's no way he's.
I will say I'm 100% here for first base slash DH rotation of Beefy Boys, Miguel Sano, and Kenneth Vargas.
Yes.
I'm here for the Beefy Boys.
Wow.
The Beefy Boys.
I'm here for the Beefy Boys.
Yeah, that's even better.
Greg, you're getting married so soon.
The bachelor party should be fun.
If you don't think I'm printing the three of us matching Beefy Boys shirts for your bachelor party, you have not met me enough times. Oh, wow.
Okay, here's a question, because we brought up the Cody Bellinger call-up last year, and we're not doing the NL. But I'm curious, the rest of this year, would you rather have Bellinger or Max Kepler?
If I knew the playing time was even or given their current situations?
I guess it's more intriguing. I mean, I don't know. It seems like he's forcing their hand a little bit. The Bellinger, I mean.
I prefer.
Let's say the next 2 years where the playing time should even out a little bit.
Yeah, then Bellinger. I prefer Bellinger as a Dynasty League asset, but I think Keller will get much more time this year.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because he's been pretty good. He's not hitting for a huge average, but Bellinger's not supposed to either. I think Bellinger's got more power. It was interesting to me because of the playing time difference kind of made up for kind of the upside between the two. So
yeah, it has less to do with me disliking Kepler and more with me like liking Bellinger a lot. So Craig, I know a guy that you were really excited to talk about pre-podcast is Ervin Santana. And obviously he's someone who's a little tough to peg for Dynasty Leaguers. So what do you make of his continued success so far this season, which is a topic you and only you wanted to speak about?
Yeah, certainly. Thank you for that, Ben. I appreciate it. I just think he's someone who we need to talk about in the sense that he has an ERA barely over half a run right now. And he's had an ERA under 2.5 for the last 365 days or something to that extent. Brett, where are you putting him? I think his extended success caught me by surprise. I've always kind of liked him, but I never liked him this much. I'm wondering kind of where you are on him as a dynasty asset. We have the top 500, but I wouldn't have assumed he'd continue with this kind of pace over his last year and a half. So do you have a thought on him in terms of ranking?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just sort of like an apartment you go month to month on the lease with. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think there's anything in his profile that says he's going to be really good for an extended period of time. But yeah, he has looked really good. And, the Twins are going to, they're going to keep relying on him. They're going to let him throw, pretty deep into games. And he's going to rack up, as long as Miguel Sano is hitting in the middle of that lineup, they're going to score some runs. So I think he could play his way up to, sort of a top 40-ish starter this year. I mean, especially with some of the injuries that we've had. We've had a lot of injuries.
Let me phrase it. Well, part of that is the 10-day DL, I think. But yes. But let me phrase it a different way for you. If I pulled up the top 101 for this year for Dynasty Leagues, if you're going for it and you have a decent farm system and some depth to move, what kind of, where do you draw the line on who you're willing to trade for a guy like Ervin Santana, who's been very good but is in approaching his mid 30s? Is it like, do you trade Yusniel Diaz for him?
Yeah, I think he's gotten to the point where you trade a back end top 100 prospect for him.
Okay, so Diaz we have is top 60. He was number 57. Do you trade Blake Rutherford for him?
No. No, I wouldn't trade Rutherford for him.
Okay, Alex Verdugo.
Yeah, I've never been a huge Verdugo guy comparatively, but yeah, I think I probably would if I needed an arm.
All right, last narrowing down, Ronaldo Lopez.
Okay. I would deal a pitching prospect for him.
Okay, yeah. Lopez is 51. Garrett. Amir Garrett's 52. He's in the majors, so I'm guessing you wouldn't be as quick to move him.
Yeah, I mean that's just a different scenario because you're giving up current stats. Yeah, but
yeah. So okay, so I mean, and like I said, obviously some things have shifted a little bit, but Ronaldo Lopez was 51 entering the season, so you're talking about depending on the player, obviously, but you're relatively comfortable trading a back 50 prospect for a guy like him.
Yeah,
depending on the guy. Yeah,
obviously depending on the guy a little bit, but yeah, I think he's earned that at this point. If you're going to go for it, you might as well go for it with a guy who's just pretty much on fire.
Yep.
So I know, like, I guess Jose Berrios might come back soon, but before that, how many more starts do you think the Twins give Enya, Brett?
At least one.
Welcome back to episode 88 of Tino. Those of you who are really into sort of, you know, problem solving and big into patterns have probably figured out that this last segment is going to be about the AL West. So those of you just catching up, talking about guys who have improved or hurt their Dynasty League rankings even through the first just 5 weeks of the season. So we're going to go alphabetically through the AL West, which means we are starting with the Astros, I believe. Is that correct?
Who would have thought that a team starting with the letter H would be the first in the division?
Right. Statistically unlikely, but yeah. Here we are. So the Astros are pretty damn good, which I guess isn't a surprise at all when you look at their offense, but I personally was not a big fan of their starting pitching. But it looks like Dallas Keuchel is back to being Cy Young winner Dallas Keuchel, Brett.
Holy shit, he is. I mean, he's been one guy that I've been kind of focused on watching a lot at the beginning of the season once his first start or two happened, and he looked statistically like old Dallas Keuchel. But I mean, it is really fucking hard to elevate against that guy, and they let him throw a ton. And he's striking out enough guys that in bulk, he's not going to be a guy who strikes out more than a batter an inning, but he could do sort of the Johnny Cueto thing where he accumulates enough innings to still strike out 200 batters regardless. He's up to 36 strikeouts already in close to 45 innings. His ERA is not going to end the season with a one, but this is definitely, I think we're on the road to trusting Keuchel as a really good SP2 and a serviceable back end ace if you're kind of going cheaper on the pitching.
That makes sense to me. Craig, a little bit on the opposite end of the spectrum, although I believe he's been heating up as of late, is Alex Bregman, who has his average up to tolerable and his OBP up to fairly respectable, but is not hitting for any power. Obviously, Bregman proved to be a pretty streaky player last season as well. Do you think we're going to have to sort of ride these ups and downs with him, or is this just a case of, a young player still sort of finding his sea legs?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter than the former. I know there are streaky players throughout the game, but I think they're kind of fewer and far between than people seem to think. My thought process is he's a really talented guy. He's a good player, and that's going to kind of win out over the long term. So I think he's someone who you can stick in your lineup and kind of forget about and just take the production as it comes. I know that's, obviously had the very bad streak to start last year, but after that, everything was good. I think he'll be fine this year. I mean, I know that's not very detailed, but he's a very talented guy, and I think he'll be fine.
For what it's worth, I agree, and that's sort of what I was trying to set you up for.
Yeah.
Anyone else on the Astros we want to talk about?
Josh Reddick's been really good. I don't know if that,
that doesn't really shock me.
No.
Really good, I think, is overstating it. I mean, he hasn't really hit for power, which, for Josh Reddick to be good Josh Reddick, he needs to hit for power, right?
Okay, fair enough. I accept that.
I think Yuli Gurriel has been...
Yeah, he had a bad first week, solid. And he's been very good since then.
He is a fantastic contact hitter who will run into some home runs in that park. I don't think there's any reason why he can't hit, you know, 310, 320 for the entire season. I think that's absolutely in play. He does not strike out. Other than that, over under on stolen bases for the rest of George Springer's career, 0.5.
Does he never run? Is that
he can't successfully steal a base anymore?
I'll go under.
Yeah, I think I might be with you.
I just, Brett, to your point on Gurriel, I took out his the first week of the season. So from April 10th on, he's hit .385. So
yep.
He's been very good.
He is very good.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I don't have his page in front of me, but I'm pretty sure his last season in Cuba, he struck out 3 times in 200 at-bats.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it's Cuba, but that, you know, that speaks to how good of a contact hitter he is.
Right. In plays, like, I play in an AL only league. I know you've played in those before. I don't know if you're in them now, but like, what do you do? How do you value a guy like Devensky in a league like that, where, like, in my league, innings are a category and all of the starters except for Jared Weaver are owned. Or I guess that's in an NL, but whatever. That's the kind of the depth of there's nobody available, so you end up playing relievers and you want to accumulate innings. Obviously he does that, but where do you value him relative to kind of back end starters in a league like that?
He's way more valuable than a back end starter. I mean, you have to start thinking about Devensky in sort of the same way we think about Andrew Miller. I don't think he's as good of a pitcher as Miller, but he's gonna throw he might throw 100, 110 innings, and he could, you know, he could strike out 150 batters.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nuts, but, you know, while on a pitch for pitch basis, I don't think he's quite an Andrew Miller level reliever. The Astros seem to be using him in a way that is really valuable, and they're not doing it with just Devensky. I mean,
no, it's Brad Peacock
has
too.
You know, Brad Peacock has given up one earned run in, you know, 8 appearances over 11 innings. Even James Hoyt came up and has 10 strikeouts in less than 5 innings.
Well, I think
given up a run yet.
It's Feliz too, right? I mean, that they're doing similar stuff with.
Yes, this is a pattern with the Astros, and the way they use their bullpen lends itself to fantasy value, which is really kind of cool, and it's a sort of a different way to think about how we approach decisions in, you know, in deep leagues and in AL only leagues, like you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good topic.
Do you guys, I know it's only 1 month, do you think what Mike Trout is doing is real? Do you think he's got a future?
Maybe.
He's young. I don't know.
He is young. We were talking about other guys. Yeah. I mean, Mike Trout, you know, he's only 25. So, you know, there's still time for him to sort of come into his own.
Yeah.
Which I say facetiously, but this is actually his best April ever.
He's so good. And can we not talk about anybody else on this team?
So the A's.
Can we not talk about anybody on that
team? I don't. Yeah. I mean, is there anything to say? Yonder Alonso, 6-1.
I like. Someone made a comment that Eric Hosmer and Yonder Alonso were doing like a vice versa kind of thing.
Well, physically makes me sad.
It does, but I can't. Yonder Alonso doing actual real baseball things is rather shocking.
And I mean, it's possible in 2017. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, Sean Manaea was off to a pretty encouraging start before he got hurt, and I think he's only missing one start, so I'm excited to see what he does kind of the rest of the way.
He was off to a good start?
Wasn't he?
Not necessarily from an ERA standpoint, but
he's right. missing bats. Yeah.
Yeah, he's missing a lot of bats. I mean, if you look at his underlying stats, they were 64% ground balls.
Sean Manaea has a 1.64 DRA.
Yeah. I mean, I like Manaea. I just
fantasy. No, that's a fair eyebrow raise. I think focused on his kind of his strikeouts.
Yeah, which is fair. Where I think we're all pro Manaea on the pod.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Sonny Gray is back, but it doesn't really do anything for us now.
Yeah. I know Kendall Graveman made waves early on. Do you guys have thoughts on him so far?
It's like pretty bad. It's not bad, but he's not a real fantasy factor for me.
Yeah, I mean, my problem.
I think he's an MLB 4 or 5.
Yeah, and I think he's a rotation guy, but I know he was throwing harder early on, but I don't know if that was kind of the switch over to the Statcast radar as opposed to the TrackMan or PitchFX or whatever was doing it before. But you know, I just don't right now. Not missing enough bats. He's at 17%. It's just not enough.
Yeah. Also, Jarrell Cotton might not be an ace.
Weird.
I heard he has a good changeup, though. And you know who else had a good changeup? Pedro Martinez.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I heard that.
Makes you think. Not a dramatic swing in fantasy value, but I would like to point out that Franklin Barreto is hitting 372, 425, 585 in Triple A right now.
They're playing Jeff Decker, baby.
They are indeed playing Jeff Decker. So might be an opportunity between... Barreto's not playing. He's still playing shortstop. So
no, I know, but they could shift him there.
Right, but between Jeff Decker playing center field and Marcus Semien dying, pretty good chance that Barreto gets some serious MLB time this season.
So just to last thing on Oakland, Ryan Healy came in with a decent amount of I don't know about hype, but some optimism. He was
Would you call it helium?
But he's been pretty bad. I think he came in with optimism and I mean, do you guys, was that unfounded? Is it too early to back off of that? Brett, where are you on healing?
I mean, I think the optimism, I think both. I think the optimism was too high coming into the season. I think the pessimism now is probably too low. I think he's a perfectly serviceable hitter in a medium-sized mixed league. I don't think he's anything more than that, but...
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, the Mariners. Well, the Mariners don't have any more players.
No, they really don't.
So, I mean, I don't think there's really anyone to talk about because Felix Hernandez... Mitch Haniger, and there's another like regular players on the DL for them.
Segura was, but he's off the
DL. Yeah, but there's someone else because like their outfield right now is Guillermo Heredia and Ben Gamel.
Smiley?
Smiley. They DFA'd Leonis Martin. Yeah, it's not great.
I mean, I think the two names we talked about Paxton. I think last week a little bit. I mean, is he?
God, he looks good.
Yeah, I mean, is he SP1 for you right now?
As long as he's healthy, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, who knows how long he's going to stay healthy for? But
it's a little bit of the Eric Bedard approach, where it's just everything.
Oh great. Yeah.
No, that is a great.
That really is. Wow, Craig.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow, it only took us 3.5 years, Dino.
I'm not good at comps. Is Eric Bedard Canadian? Did I get that down? Is Paxton Canadian?
His nickname is Big Maple.
Yeah, all right.
Which is like the best nickname in baseball right now.
Bedard is Canadian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make that up. Wow, that was really good. All he needs to do is get...
trade to the Orioles, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. The other name to me was Taylor Motter has been weirdly good.
No, not in on it.
Okay.
I mean, you're right to point him out, but no.
Okay, that's fine. It's I just wasn't sure if it worked the opposite way with the Rays sending utility infielders to Seattle. Maybe now they're good.
fair enough.
I thought maybe that worked.
Yeah.
So we're down to the Rangers?
Yeah. We're
down to the Rangers.
Nomar Mazara is good and Jurickson Profar is bad.
Yeah, Brett, what are you doing with Profar right now?
I'm holding on to him in deeper dynasty leagues because I do think there is too much talent in there for him to just be this lost. And to be honest, I think even if his ceiling is not what it was, I think all it takes is sort of 1 3-4 week stretch of him in the majors somewhere hitting, and then you could get something for him in a trade.
Ben, are you doing something different?
Yes, oddly enough, which, you know, this is a we've been doing this for like 18 months now. In the TDGX size league, I get it. If you're truly rostering like 400 players, yeah, I'm with Brett. Hold on to him. Even anything as like shallow as a 16-team league, I think you're totally fine cutting bait. We're not sure he's an infielder. We're not sure he can hit. We're not sure he can stay healthy. I get it, and it was once very promising, and I know he's still sort of young, but I mean, there's just nothing there, and there hasn't been anything there in several years now, other than like a 4-week hot stretch at one point last year. So, to me, he's not a top 300 dynasty asset anymore.
But he's, yeah,
he's younger fair. Than Aaron Judge.
Yeah, well, so what? He sucks.
He does suck.
That was a very Craig answer, Ben.
Yeah, well, you know, again, Ben.
I want to stick with you, Ben, on one of your favorite players. Joey Gallo is Joey Galloing.
It's definitely pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
200, 314, 533. That's his slash line right now.
It's the platonic ideal of a Joey Gallo triple slash.
he's walking at 12%, striking out at 38%. It's spectacular.
I hope it never changes.
He's stolen four bases.
he's a freak athlete.
Yeah.
That is my favorite part of the Joey Gallo experience in 2017 so far, is that he's just on pace to steal 20 bases for whatever reason.
He's like if Paul Goldschmidt was more athletic and sucked at hitting.
Fair enough.
I don't know if he's more athletic than Goldschmidt. But
come on. Yeah, he is.
Gallo's really athletic.
So is Goldschmidt.
Yes.
I literally saw him in person yesterday. I'm going to stand on this.
Well, I disagree. I don't think it's because Goldschmidt is not athletic. I think it's because Joey Gallo is a freak.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's really nothing else all that interesting to talk about on the Rangers, is there?
Pete Cosma, who displaced Jurickson Profar.
No, Craig, Brett said interesting.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Yeah. Cole Hamels is on the DL, but you know, he's a Ranger, so that's just sort of a rite of passage.
Yeah. On the pitching side, Darvish looks really good, but...
Yeah, but how many more starts does Nick Martinez get before they just turn it over to Enya? Episode 88 of Tino. As always, we'll send you out with a little housekeeping. Please rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever platform you use to listen to our podcast. Every positive review helps, and we enjoy your feedback. And I would like to point out that we made good on our promise of recording for 2 weeks in a row because we skipped a week. So, we're men of honor now that Mao is gone. If you would like one of the Beefy Boys t-shirts that we referenced earlier in the podcast, please go to baseballperspectives.com/Tino/Beefy Boys, and you'll be able to sign up there. You can follow us on Twitter at Tino Podcast and get in touch with us through email at tinopodcast@gmail.com. You can find Brett on Twitter at BrettSayerVP. You can find Craig at CD. That's CD as in...
Common Decency.
Goldstein? That's not true. No. You can find our producer, George, at George Bissell. And you can find me at Ben Carsley. Thank you for listening and have a good night. Track fake URLs and we can see if anyone actually goes to bp.com/Gino/beefyboys. Is Dick Martinez still a Ranger? I just like...
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's terrible.
He's in the rotation.
I'm just going to sit back and wait for my Beefy Boys t-shirt.
There you go. Oh. You think I won't. You think I won't.
I don't doubt you. I don't doubt you for a second.
You should sell those on BP.
Brett, what are you wearing? Medium?
Yes.
I'll take one in a 2X.
My size is beefy.
Yeah, Craig, notice I didn't ask you. you want a 2X, George? You're in on the beefy bros. Don't worry.
Hell yeah. No, we only print them in size triple X.
Yeah, beefy boys shirts only come in XL and higher.
You can't get a medium in this shit.
Oh, God. Okay.